I am Josh Escobedo with Weintraub Tobin.
And I'm Scott Hervey from Weintraub Tobin. Welcome to another installment of The Briefing by the IP Law Blog. Well, Josh, the new COVID bill looks like it might change the intellectual property landscape in a variety of ways, don't you think?
Definitely, Scott. The $2.3 trillion, 5,539-page bill included various provisions affecting intellectual property, such as the CASE Act, which is short for the Copyright Alternative and Small Claims Enforcement Act of 2020. The CASE Act will create a copyright claims board within the United States Copyright Office to adjudicate disputes valued at $30,000 or less.
Right. As I understand it, the claims board will be limited to awarding $15,000 per claim and $30,000 for the entire case. Its proponents think that this alternative form could serve small copyright owners well, since they generally cannot afford federal court litigation, which we know gets outrageously expensive.
It does, and in that regard, federal court litigation can be prohibitive for copyright owners. And until the creation of the claims board, there wasn't an alternative. State court isn't much cheaper than federal court, and as we know, copyright is within the exclusive jurisdiction of the federal courts.
True, but there are others who don't think so highly of the CASE Act. Various civil liberties groups have said that the new proceedings are likely to be abused by copyright trolls and otherwise utilized to chill free speech. Whether that's true or not remains to be seen, but to be fair, the current procedures don't stop copyright trolls and those who use the law to silence free speech.
Right. We'll have to see how it works in practice, but moving on from there, the bill also makes it a felony for large streaming services to provide unauthorized access to copyrighted materials. In fact, such a violation could carry a penalty of up to 10 years in prison if the violating party knew or should have known that the work was prepared for public performance.
I think that was intended to close a loophole that made streaming such works a misdemeanor, but reproducing and distributing such works a felony. Given the prevalence of streaming in today's society, we probably shouldn't be so surprised.
That's true. And what did you think about the Trademark Modernization Act, which was also included in the bill?
The act was, in part, a response to the surge in fraudulent trademark filings, largely originating, according to some, in China. Congress and the Patent and Trademark Office have really been grappling with this over the past couple of years, and the proposed legislation seeks to try to present some type of remedy to the problem of applicants submitting doctored photos to demonstrate the use of a mark and fraudulently obtain a trademark registration. The act creates this new procedure to improve examination effectiveness and efficiencies, and it allows third parties to essentially request ex parte cancellation of trademark registrations instead of filing a cancellation procedure.
That's right, and it also allows these third parties to provide the trademark examiners with evidence as to why an application should be refused. It's an interesting modification to the procedure as we know it, but it stands to provide the examining attorneys with a helping hand or two.
That's true, and the act also does two more important things. First, it provides the director of the USPTO with the authority to reconsider and modify or set aside a decision from the TTAB. The idea is that giving the director this authority would protect the TTAB from the type of constitutionality challenge currently facing the PTAB in the Supreme Court case U.S. versus Arthex.
And last, but certainly not least for trademark litigators, the Trademark Modernization Act would create a presumption of irreparable harm upon a finding of infringement when the plaintiff is seeking a permanent injunction. The law is currently to the contrary, with most courts following the rationale of the 2006 patent case from the Supreme Court.
That's a real significant change, but frankly, all of these changes are significant. Thanks for sharing, Josh.
Of course. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this installment of The Briefing by the IP Law Blog. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, visit our YouTube channel, don't forget to subscribe to that as well, and check out our website at theiplawblog.com. Thanks.